Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzel with Joseph Sternberg of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, writing political economics, looking at the U.S. from across the Atlantic, from London. And Joe has written repeatedly about inflation this last year, this last 2 years, but it is now in the land. We can see it from the price spike at the grocery store. I'm told that avocados from, I'm presuming, California, have gone from 99 cents a pound to $1.29 a pound with no intervening platforms. That's it. Just one boom. That happened. And everyone is experiencing that things are more expensive, that prices are going up even in the Amazon catalog. So that's consumer inflation. However, central bankers worry about global inflation and national inflation. So I come to a headline in the Wall Street Journal that requires Joe's attention to understand. It reads, investors, here's how to brace for the year of central bank divergence. Short-term bond markets point to very different monetary policies across countries, but lack of gyrations in longer-term paper is creating concerns. I stopped there because I got lost. Joe, this looks like, to reduce it to my simple layman's terms, the Bank of Japan and the European Central Bank are going one way, loose money. The Bank of Canada, the Bank of England, and the Federal Reserve are talking in another way, tight money. Is this inflation causing chaos among the central bankers? Is this an answer to what we can see now? Is the public worry here in the U.S. that inflation will continue through the year?
Yes. I mean, I think that this is a sign of the disorder that we're dealing with, both in terms of inflation and consumer prices, and also now increasingly in financial markets, because the thing that has been really noticeable over the past year is that the inflation has been a global phenomenon. You've had inflation in the U.S., you've had it here in the U.K., you've had it in the Eurozone, those European countries that use the euro as their currency. You've had it in Japan, you've had it in a bunch of smaller economies. The inflation is everywhere. And what's starting to emerge now is that there is not a similarly coordinated global response. And so now you're going to end up facing two issues. The first is going to be how effectively will your local monetary authorities, whatever country or jurisdiction you're living in, how effectively will they grapple with whatever inflation that you have locally? And then also, what will be the consequences for this kind of divergence when you come to issues like global capital flows and the effects that those can have on economies, on diverging financial markets? Because, you know, I think that you can't really separate out the financial market from the Main Street economy that we deal with on some of these issues. I mean, even if the inflation comes under control at the supermarket, you also have to think about your 401k investments. And so I think from that perspective, we're discovering that even as monetary authorities start trying to talk about getting the inflation under control, the problems may be just beginning because the situation has gone on for as long as it has.
Reassuring words from the London Times. This is within these last hours. The Times annual economic survey, now in its fifth year, remains dominated by a single issue: the endless to and fro of the Brexit saga, which shaped economists' concerns until 2020, has been replaced by a worrying jump in the cost of living, which is the old-fashioned way of saying inflation. Scientists have long argued that we will have to learn to live with COVID, and the predictions were proven correct. Do we have to learn to live with inflation? The offset of this, of course, is that it won't cost jobs, say the predictors in the UK. Do you agree with that, Joe, that rising inflation will not be a blow to the recovering economy, will not mean that people lose their jobs, will not mean a recession?
Oh, I absolutely disagree with that point. I think that there is a reason why we always fret about inflation, despite the best efforts of some economists to talk us into thinking that it's a good thing. I think that the problem you're going to run into is that we rely on prices to tell us what to do in the economy. I mean, it's basic economics, if you're in a free market system, that the price signal is the way that everyone in the economy communicates with everyone else. And now it's as if you're talking on a walkie-talkie with a lot of distortion, and it's very difficult to hear what other people are saying because that inflation is creating so many distortions in this very important signal, this important means of communication. So I don't think that we can relax at all about the prospect that the longer that the inflation continues in the way that it has been, the more damaging it can end up being to a lot of parts of the economy where you might not ordinarily think that there would be an inflationary issue, and yet you can end up with one.
China. China is completely mysterious to me. The more I talk about it, the less I know. Is China practicing loose money? Is China fighting inflation with loose money? Is China creating inflation with loose money? Can we tell?
Well, China is such an interesting and special case here because they also have various inflationary concerns that they're worried about. But they also are struggling to stave off the worst effects of a correction in the property market. As they've implemented these policies that were supposed to try to crack down on excessive credit, excessive borrowing and lending linked to property. And so they are now trying to ease credit a little bit, dial back some of the most serious effects of that. And so they're a special and very complicated case here. You can't really talk about them the same way that you talk about other central banks right now because they have those confounding policy factors that they're dealing with. It's an interesting question whether that makes their life easier or harder than anyone else's. I tend to think that every policymaker in the world right now is pretty miserable, even if they're pretty miserable in their own unique ways.
What's going on in the UK, I'll stay with, is rising energy prices. Boris Johnson is asked to do something, for example, on the energy bills, reduce them in some fashion. The energy crisis continues into Europe. I believe the price of electricity in Germany is that of a good meal. It's very high, going higher all the time. Is that an inflation that can be stopped or corrected? It seems built in right now, and that I don't see them rolling energy prices back in the near future because you can always worry about another cold winter. Does that cost jobs? Does that cost growth, Joe?
Oh, I mean, the energy is absolutely a factor that I think is going to be impacting a lot of economies around the world and a few more so than Europe because on top of the general monetary factors related to the inflation, you also have the specific geostrategic angles to do with dependence on Russia and questions about the reliability of that supply. And so I think that it is, you know, the energy prices are a complicated challenge in Europe, and they're really a complicated challenge everywhere. And because you need energy to do anything in the economy, I think that inflation going haywire for that can really, again, have a lot of deleterious effects everywhere else.
Did the Federal Reserve wait too long? That's the question that keeps coming up. You've written about inflation for more than a year, maybe 2 years. I don't recall. It all blends together during the pandemic. Your editorial page has certainly been keen on inflation. There are other strong voices. Did the Federal Reserve wait too long, and was it politicized, and then it stopped being politicized to do what is necessary in 2022?
I think that they probably did wait too long because they kept thinking about the Fed's monetary policies as something that could aid the recovery from the pandemic, when the only thing that could have aided the recovery from the pandemic would have been lifting the lockdowns a lot sooner. So the Fed fundamentally misdiagnosed the problem that the U.S. economy had, thought that monetary policy and easy money would be the cure to it, when in fact it has created this other side effect in the form of this serious inflation that we're dealing with now. And then the Fed has been very slow to respond. And remember, the Fed still has not tightened. They talk about some of their policies right now as if they are tightening, especially this notion that they will phase out their new purchases of assets that pump money into the economy next year. But right now, they're still running a very easy money policy. So we have the inflation here, and the Fed still is not responding to that in a meaningful way. So I think it's a pretty good case that they have been behind the curve. And the problem is, the further behind you fall, the more painful it becomes to try to catch up.
So what we're looking at here is the uncertainty of Omicron and whatever happens afterwards. The NHS has predicted 3 more years of some version of this virus, and inflation that cannot be stopped. Is that what I'm hearing, Joe? And jobs that are dependent upon some stability in the markets. Is that where we start 2022 globally?
Yes, I think that the two challenges that we are going to face economically this year are going to be getting a handle on the virus and actually learning to live with it, which means that we're going to have to rethink the knee-jerk tendency to impose lockdowns whenever a new variant pops up. And then the other challenge is going to be getting the inflation under control so that the economy can start talking to itself again, so that you can have meaningful price signals about where the economy needs to go next. Unfortunately, I think both of those things are going to be very difficult for policymakers in most places to execute.
Particularly because it's an election year here in the U.S., and inflation is a story that isn't easily answered by rhetoric from campaigns. Joseph Sternberg is an editorial member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London, and we're going to turn to life in London in what appears to be another wave, like wartime, another attack on the UK economy and UK population. Or is it? When we come back, I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.